The Cubs and the Reds on it Tuesday night. The Cubs fell behind 1-0 in the first, but that deficit would prove short-lived thanks to Wilson Contreras.
Fly ball to center field, pretty well hit. Back goes Hamilton, still going. That ball's off the center field fence, and it vanishes in the vines. A two-run double for Contreras. A deep drive to right center field. Get out the tape measure, long gone. Maybe the slump is no more. Booming home run, and the Cubs lead it 4-2.
From Bronson Arroyo, and here's the next pitch. Arroyo working fastballs, hit high and deep to left center field. Going back, still going back, it's gone. Opposite field, home run, Ian Happ, and the Cubs are now up 5-3.
Pretty well hit. Deep right center, gone. A basket shot for Russell, 8-5. The next couple of days at least, smacked out into right. Gone! His seventh.
The Cubs take down the Reds 9-5, Cincy's fourth straight loss. The Cubs four home runs on the night, a season high. Since the start of the 2015 season, the Cubs are 31-11 against the Reds. It's been an up-and-down season for the reigning world champions, but maybe Tuesday's 9-5 win will get the Cubs back on track as Chicago belted a season-high four home runs in the winning effort. Here is Chicago skipper Joe Maddon.
We played well. We played well. We made some plays under really adverse situation circumstances pitching-wise. And I thought John Lackey was outstanding. Again, I mean, we had a couple of base hits fall in front. Run scored on a well-pitched pass ball. The home run to left I thought was really well struck. Maybe the home run to center, you know, ended up on that roof. But, you know, that was – we were wind-aided also in some situations. It was just one of those nights. So I thought Lackey pitched really well once again. Our bullpen was good. Uehara, I just told Koji, listen, man, that's going to happen on days like this. You can't let that bother you. But we got our share also. Some nice plays on defense. The pickoff again by Contreras. And the bullpen was good. Yeah, I thought they both, I mean, of course, Kyle really hit that ball well, but I even loved more the line drive down the left field line. I mean, that's Addison home run, right center, love that. We just got to get the middle of the field back in play. That's where we're losing out on RBIs, is just by playing with the small part of the field as opposed to the big part. And so I took that as a somewhat of a good sign.
Instead of asking you if Happ is giving you something to think about, is it just put a pen to the name in there?
He's already in tomorrow. That wasn't difficult. How about the walk? See, that's what I know the home run's nice and all that, but the walk, bases loaded, walk, didn't expand the strike zone, took the walk. That's really nice to see out of a young player. Candelario had some good at-bats there too, but Ian looks extremely in the moment and calm and talked about it. I mean, I said that about a lot of our guys, but look at the average age on the field. I was like looking at that in the beginning of the game. And listen, that's just one win. We got to keep getting this rolling in the right direction. However, it's a nice first step.
So is it a simple matter of you're a home run hitting team? I mean, you guys, I think 11-3 now, hitting two or more home runs.
We do. I mean, we're not really good so far with runners in scoring position. We get them out there, and then all of a sudden if it's not a home run, we're having a hard time just scoring them with singles. And I really enjoy the scoring them with singles routine also. And I do believe the art there is to use the middle of the field, just to really stay in the big part of the yard. And, of course, the pitcher's not going to give. And, of course, you may get a chance to hit a home run with nobody on and make a 1-0 count because the pitcher doesn't want to walk. You get to get a cookie somewhat. But runners in scoring position, they're going to expand. They're going to change speeds. They're going to make you chase. And that's what we're missing right now. We got to organize our strike zones, utilize the middle of the field, and we will. I really believe that we will. We've done it. We've just gotten away from it a little bit right now.
From victory number one to 1,000, what do you think has been most consistent throughout your managing tenure?
Well, it started out, you know, with an expansion team, basically, with the Devil Rays. And it was tough in the beginning, man, because it was the biggest deficiency on those first two teams was a bullpen, I thought. I mean, even with, we could score runs there. Our defense was so-so, but we couldn't hold leads late. I thought the ascension occurred when the bullpen, the latter part of the game, got better, and that part of that was the defense. I guess what I'm saying is the players kept getting better. You know, it's like 2008, there was some great acquisitions made, and all of a sudden you go to the World Series. The consistent part, I think, is simplicity. I think is a big part of it. I think the simplicity in general, but also like an overall, again, a simple game plan. We're not very confusing. It wasn't confusing back then, meaning players didn't go out there with a lot of thoughts in their head. We did utilize new wave information, and we still do. At that time, I think I was a part of the group that was at the forefront of that, which really helped get that group good quicker than a lot had expected. So I've been part of like a lot of adjustments, new concepts, new items coming into the game. From the time I started in mid-90s using a computer that I said several times was a laptop that weighed at least 25 pounds, you know, but and I used to get made fun of. But it started with that thought, and then all the breaking down of stats in my really rudimentary way, to eventually to the point where everything's done for you. And so you've seen this transformation go from pretty much, in a sense, the dark ages to where we're at now. And then I'm looking forward to the next step back to the dark ages. So I think that's the next step. So I've seen a lot of different methods. I've been taught well, and I really want to say, you know, it's a thousand wins other guys have done it, but to the players that have been a part of this, I want to say thank you, because you don't do this without really good players. You don't, and to the coaches. Got a great staff here once again, and just for the opportunity. It's all about opportunity also. There's a lot of players out there with opportunity. We'll show you that they're really good major league players. I got a chance to manage late, primarily because I never played in the big leagues. I think that was the biggest drawback. Having never played one at bat, I thought 10 years as a major league coach at some point had equal one at bat in the big leagues. And that was my personal equation, that I thought eventually if I spent 10 years as a coach, somebody may give me the opportunity.
You were asked initially about the 1,000th win, and you talked about the team right away.
Yeah.
Is that humility is what you espouse to?
I didn't even realize I did that. So thank I listen, I was, again, I don't want to get boring, but I was raised well. I was. Whether it's parents, I was thinking about my coaches, Richie and Jack Seiwall, my midget football coaches, Ernie Valent, Little League Baseball, Paulie Bonomo, summer ball, Coach Morgan, Coach Siminski, maybe the toughest guy I played for football. And then I went into collegiately with Coach Root, Coach Schnall, and then, of course, Norm Gigon, who was a Cub. Gigon was my coach at Lafayette. This guy taught me more about baseball than I ever knew 17, 18 years prior to that, in 1 year that I was with him. So it's just been a matter of I've had good folks, and I think part of it is the willingness to take a chance, to not really get stuck in traditional methods, to be willing to try something new. Fortune does favor the bold. I absolutely believe that. I'm more convinced of that than ever. Tell me what you think, not what you've heard. Those are the kind of concepts I believe in. That's why I don't get really bogged down with a lot of stuff that may be said, because I know what we do and why I do it and how I do it is based on several years of doing it and experience-wise. So I prefer, tell me what you think, not what you've heard. I think regurgitation is a big part of our society, and I prefer the free thinkers, actually. Last point regarding the 1,000. Thank you for asking. Respect 90 Foundation is going to donate 1,000 meals in Chicago and 1,000 meals in Tampa Bay, indicative of this particular event. I don't have the greater details of that yet, but typically part of the Respect 90, what we've done in the past is our thanks for feeding the homeless. And so anytime you could impact that part of our society, I think it's always a good thing. So symbolically, based on tonight's victory, we're going to donate in Tampa Bay and in Chicago.
Ian Happ has been the talk of the town since his promotion from AAA, as he added his second big league home run as part of a big night for the Cubs in Tuesday's 9-5 win over Cincinnati. Here is the Cubs youngster sharing his thoughts after the game.
It was awesome, man. The fans were out supporting. Great atmosphere, and just good to get a win.
I bet. Well, we talked about the home run. Very impressive. Did you think that one was going deep off the into the barrel there?
Yeah, the way the wind's blowing today, you just got to get in the air, so... I was out in front, but got barrel on it, and it went.
But then the walk there in the sixth inning, how were you able to remain so patient when you heard these fans on their feet, the bases are loaded? How were you able to do that?
He threw some good pitches, but I was seeing it well out of the hand and just got on base. That was my job there.
The last couple days, Ian, what have they been like for you? How has this team embraced you up here?
Spring training was big. But just since I've been here, the guys are awesome. Welcome me with open arms and just happy to be here.
The Cubs sent Kyle Hendricks to the mound on Wednesday as he battles Scott Feldman.